Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Close the Tab by Chelsea Cameron. Narrated by Aidan Snow and Kendall Taylor. Prologue. Bladen. Tamlin, I plead. Tell me. Tell me what happened to your face. I can't, she whispers, making me shatter into a million pieces. I wish you would trust me. Tell me. Let me fix this. I have my own ideas about what happens to her. I know without her saying the words, but it's impossible to do anything based on a firm assumption. Instead, I do what I always do. Let me get you some ice. I start to move off my bed when she reaches out and grips me, holding me in place.
No, don't leave me.
Okay, I soothe, lying back on my bed. I tenderly press her head to my chest, stroking her hair as she relaxes. Seconds tick by into minutes. We say nothing. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last. Tell me, I whisper. Tell me who did it, and I swear I'll make them pay. How many times have we been down this road? How many times have I held her while she cried through the pain? When will it end? How many more times will I beg her to say his name? How long do I have to wait until she gives me the reason I need to fight back? She sobs into my chest, refusing to answer. Time ticks by as she finally falls asleep. Then hours pass, while I silently pray my parents don't come home anytime soon. They won't help her. If they find her here, it will only get worse for her and for me. I already know who marked her. I just can't do anything if she won't confirm it. Realistically, I can't do a damn thing anyway. Not until we are 18. I hate feeling helpless. Tamlin Mary Andrews is my best friend. I've watched her grow from a girl into a woman. We've gone from playing in ditches together as kids to stealing kisses as teens. There isn't a time in my life when I don't remember her being in it. She is also the only person in my whole world who knows the truth. The secrets in this house, and in her own. The things no one would believe unless they saw it for themselves. If I could take her pain, I would. If I could make her safe, I would. And will. One day I will. We aren't safe here. We're just too young to escape yet. 18 is 2 months away from me and 4 for her. I will do everything I can to get us free as soon as the day comes. Until then, sleep against me, Tamlin, and find a moment of peace. This will all be over too soon. When she goes home, she faces hell. Chapter 1. Bladen. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. I wait. The early morning breeze blows and still I sit. Humidity in the south is a special kind of hell. My skin is slightly clammy even in a mild 65 degrees. My hands unconsciously tighten into fists at the reminder of how many times I told myself I would never be here again. Patience is not a virtue I ever had, yet I have waited a long time for my opportunity to fight for Tamlin Adams. Hindsight is 20/20. I see clearly now, and what I shouldn't have done is what I did. I backed down before. I left and didn't look back. Once we got out, we took off and put as much distance between this place and ourselves as I could, getting Tamlin settled at Haven's Harbor first. It was then I had to get the distance between her and myself so they would follow me, and she would be safe. It was necessary. I wouldn't let them follow her, find her, and destroy her. Now it all seems in vain. She left Haven's Harbor, a shelter for women and children where she had been staying all this time. Years she has remained safe and, I thought, happy. It was supposed to be her fresh start, free from the past, the one place I could keep her and know they wouldn't touch her. And she left. Tempest, the director and Tamlin's cousin, told me she left. She said she's an adult and she couldn't hold her back. I call bullshit. But who am I to say anything? I left her here when I should have done everything so different so long ago. A weight settles in the pit of my stomach as I look at my childhood home. I wasn't man enough then. Do they realize the monster inside me now? The evil I was born with spawned from him, and the anger inside me he created. No, that they created. My mother allowing my father to do what he did, never stopping it, never coming to my defense. Yeah, they're both guilty as sin. I couldn't do anything before. But now, well, now I plan to do everything I can to make sure Tamlin sleeps well every fucking night. As much as I never wanted to be here again, Hillside Drive has me home, even if it's not for a happy reunion. Nothing about this place will ever be happy. There are no childhood memories with my parents that I want to relive. No. I want them all to die in this place. I got us free. Tamlin knew the deal. We could never come back. I should have faced them all down instead of running. My parents, her parents. I should have stepped up and not taken the coward's way and run. But it was the only way I could see at the time. I was a boy then. I am a man. A man with a chip on his shoulder. I won't turn away in fear, not this time. I'll shed blood, shed tears, and I'll rip every motherfucker who stands in my way apart until I can sleep at night, knowing not one fucking thing from the past will touch her again. We will both find our peace, even if it can't be together. Since 4 o'clock this morning, I have sat at the end of the driveway. I left even before Deacon got up and hit the pavement for his morning run. He's always the first one awake. Maybe it's because he's a former Navy SEAL, or maybe it's the nightmares that keep him up all night. I don't know. What I do know as I had to leave the mall in Florence, South Carolina this morning so I could face my past alone. This is something I won't involve my brothers in. They would gladly be at my back, but this, well, it's mine. She's mine. This has nothing to do with Devil's Due Motorcycle Club and what we do. Yes, this is my case, but like my brothers, there is nothing unsolved about it. I know what happened, who did it, and how they got away with it. I just haven't sought vengeance. Until now. We are a band of brothers. Nomads with no place to call home, and it's how I like it. The open road, the endless possibilities. It's what each of us crave. Normally, we crash from one small town to the next, just going wherever the clues take us. When you have the shit in your past that the six of us do, well, it makes change be your constant, and suddenly you find comfort in it. At least I do. The justice I seek has been building since my conception. I stare at the ranch-style home. Four walls that contained a hell that is unspeakable. I glance to the house beside my childhood home. Tamalyn's house. Two middle-class American homes that from the outside, people would think were part of someone's all-American family dream. If all dreams were nightmares, then that would describe the childhood Tamalyn and I endured. I turn back to my house. The country blue siding is accented with cream shutters. The landscaping is impeccable. And with the hydrangeas blooming blue, it's all picturesque. Until you cross the threshold. Behind the wooden door lies an entryway with family portraits and a wall of medals, all the county, city, and community awards for generations of Jones men. From my great-great-grandfather all the way down and through my father, each man has stood behind the badge. The city of Dillon, South Carolina, is all about southern charm, quiet streets, and more corruption than even a congressman could wade through. How many ceremonies did we attend for him? How many family pictures were in the newspaper referring to the upstanding citizen Anderson Jones was? How many people still fall for his bullshit? My childhood home sits in front of me as if nothing has changed. In fact, the third brick paver from the front door is still off by half an inch from the others. No one ever fixed it after all this time. It was my reminder. Every morning as I left for school, I would have to step out onto it and see how one brick no longer lined up with the others. My mind still goes there even as I fight to stare at the house of nightmares.
"Don't, Dad,"
I plead. "What are you gonna do, little boy?" he smirks at me, the evil shining in his eyes.
"I'll call the police,"
I firmly tell him as I watch my mom grab at his wrist, seeking relief from the pressure he's putting around her neck. He laughs, taunting me. "I am the police, so call them all you want, Bladen." I don't care. I can't watch him hurt her anymore. Rushing to the phone, I dial the one person I know can match my dad in strength, size, and won't be afraid of him.
"Hello," he answers.
"Mr. Andrews, please help my mom,"
I beg, feeling the tears form behind my eyes.
"Bladen?"
"Mr. Andrews, Dad's been drinking. He's hurting Mama. Please help."
My words are barely above a whisper now. That's when my blood runs cold. I hear him laugh into the receiver just before it's yanked from my hand and slammed down.
"Told you to mind your business, boy. Told you time and time again, what goes on with your mama and me is not your problem. You don't fucking listen. Time for you to learn,"
my father scolds as he releases my mother and grabs my arm just under my armpit, wrenching me sideways, then out of the living room. I yelp, fighting back the urge to cry out. When he is like this, there is no reprieve. In fact, sometimes I think the more Mama yells or cries, the more he likes to hurt us. It's like it drives him harder.
"You think Caleb Andrews is gonna help you?"
My father's voice booms as we hit the front porch. I twist my head and look to the neighbor's house where their front porch light is on. I can see the shadow of Mr. Andrews standing against his front door. He's not going to come over here.
my dad's partner on the police department, his best friend and the one man who I know could help me, watches instead.
Caleb, my boy wants you to help him. The disobedient boy wants you to keep him from being punished,
my dad yells to our neighbor.
Way I see it, Mr. Andrews yells back. Gotta teach these youngins to follow the rules. He don't need to be an adult business. If he's gonna break the rules, then he's gonna grow up and break the law. Might want to teach that boy a lesson, Anderson.
The encouragement is exactly what my father was looking for. Two hands grip my arms at my shoulders, and then he shakes me.
A night out in the yard should teach you your place.
His eyes meet mine, and I swear I'm looking at Satan himself. In a swift move, my 8-year-old body is lifted and tossed off the porch. The back of my head hits the brick paver under me before it all goes black. I woke up hours later with the sun rising, much like it is this morning. The sky, a blend of many colors, all bright and giving the illusion of a beautiful day to come. The throbbing was intense, and I found myself covered in dry blood. I had hit the paver so hard it shifted. There is never a beautiful day when it surrounds this house. Reaching up, I feel the back of my head where I still have a lump. The flicker of silver that pops out of my saddlebag catches my eye as I turn my head, stretching my neck and fighting off the ghost pains of the past. The pinwheel that goes everywhere with me is a reminder of the evil that lies within. The first of many lessons this house taught me, that man gave me, and all in the name of justice, rules, laws, and the need to keep everyone in line. It's all a bunch of bullshit.
Chapter 2. Tamlin. I was born to be strong. I was raised to rise above it all. I will always endure. Beat me, mind fuck me, throw every stone in your arsenal, I will take every blow. Moment after moment, memory after memory, tragedy after tragedy, I will survive. Until I crumble. Until I fall. That churning, that pit in your stomach, the acid-burning feeling, the emotions are too much, the fear is too much. I lived it as a child. I carried it into adulthood. When I found my way to Haven's Harbor, I said I wouldn't be afraid anymore. It was my fresh start. The phone in my back pocket pings with an alert. Tempest and I made a plan. When I felt that tingle like I was being followed, I told her I had to go. There was no way I would put her place at risk. I have had a little over 8 years of security, maturity, and time to save money while being here at Haven's Harbor. It's only been a little over 5 months since I left. I still miss Tempest, my cousin, my best friend. I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched, though. And as hard as she works for the many women and children in her care, I would not put anyone at risk. Social media is both a blessing and a curse. Twitter is my contact with Tempest, and the ping is an alert from her. At Mary Astronomy, love is not far behind anger. I stare at her cryptic message directed at me under my sign on Mary Astronomy. What the hell does that mean? Quickly, I type my reply to her sign on Erica May. At Erica May, there is a fine line between love and hate. Why would my cousin bring up love? Normally, our tweets back and forth are normal Twitter activity, featuring emojis and quotes about missing someone or remaining strong in life's storms. Tempest is not only my cousin, but my very best friend. She knows all my secrets. After her best friend was killed in high school by an abusive boyfriend, she's dedicated her life to helping keep women and children safe. Haven's Harbor is Tempest's dream turned reality. Knowing the hell I lived in, it was also the one place my father would never look for me because he didn't know Tempest had always stayed in contact with my mother and me. Caleb Andrews didn't know my mother never cut her sister out of her life like he dictated. Even as my mother was put into the ground and her casket covered in dirt, I never once slipped up about my Aunt Mary and her daughter, Tempest. As hard as it was, I didn't let on that anyone was missing from my mother's funeral. It was 1 week before my 18th birthday when she passed. Looking back on it now, I think she knew. I think my mother could sense that I wouldn't stay. When she died, I didn't have a single thing to hold me back. The doctors say it was a heart attack from a blocked valve. I think it was agony from a life of hell. My birthday present from Bladen was freedom. It didn't happen on my birthday. Bladen thought that would be too obvious. But not long after, with our plan laid out, we took off together and never looked back. My dad didn't know that Bladen left me with Tempest, purposefully putting himself in their target zones and getting them away from me. An 18-year-old pair of teens outsmarted Caleb Andrews and Anderson Jones, Bladen's father. We grew up together. There isn't a time in my life I can't remember him not being around. Not a single memory that isn't somehow followed with Bladen. He was the boy next door and my whole world. He promised to make us both safe. And he did. Just not in a way we could stay together. A carefully laid out plan of clues took our father south to Alabama while I was tucked away in Tennessee, where Tempest was just starting Haven's Harbor. I'm not sure if they ever learned the truth about Bladen and the Ruthless Rebels Motorcycle Club or not. He didn't patch in with them. Two of their guys gave Bladen a marker, a favor, he explained to me. When the time came, Bladen called in that favor for me. I didn't ask questions. It wasn't my place. The only thing I do know is they made it to Granville, Alabama, to find a dead end on Bladen and my whereabouts. When we rode out on his Harley, we made sure they were told he patched to an MC, an outlaw gang who would die before anyone could touch me. Part of it is true now, but at the time, Bladen didn't know the men he calls brothers. Hell, neither of us knew anything about life in a motorcycle club. Yes, Bladen had a bike, but only because it was cheaper than a car. Months before we fled, he had met the Thorn Twins, Skinny and Triple Threat, who are part of Ruthless Rebels Motorcycle Club, on the side of the road with a blowout. We were 17 and the twins were 22 at the time. Bladen got the men a tire and the tools they needed, using his dad's truck while he was on patrol, none the wiser. And they gave him, therefore us, a marker. A one-time get-out-of-jail-free card, kind of. A favor of any kind. Name it and they would ensure it was seen through. At the time, I didn't think about it. We were just helping people who needed it. When we took off from home, leaving the abuse in the past, it was only then that Bladen said he had called in his marker with the bikers. True to their word, Skinny and Triple Threat kept me safe by allowing my father and Bladen's to think we were tucked away with the MC. Out of their territory and jurisdiction, our fathers had no choice but to retreat back to Dillon, South Carolina. Bladen has always kept up with me through Tempest. For my safety, he's never spoken a word to me since the day he left me there. Tempest told me about every update, though, even when he met some woman who was practically living in her car with her kid. At first, I was afraid there was more to the story. Like Sabrina was a woman he fell in love with. After meeting her, she really was a stranger he had met at a store and helped, sending her to Haven's Harbor. Proving once again the man through and through Bladen Jacob Jones is. Apparently, she had one asshole husband who had her stuck. He had control of the money and the small town they lived in. Unlike our mothers, Sabrina drew the line when her husband put his hands on their son. It's what landed her living in a car in a grocery store parking lot. After her card was declined at the register and a well-meaning cashier said the absolute wrong thing in front of Bladen, he stepped in and got her free. Well, I guess his version of free. While I can't complain about my time here, I long for him. I long for the day I cannot live under a false identity, waiting for Caleb Andrews to find me and make me pay for escaping him. Almost 9 years ago, he left me there and hasn't come back for me. A single kiss goodbye, and he never turned back for a last look. In the end, it was probably for the best. He would have seen my heart breaking, shattering, and read the despair in my eyes. He was my strength for all my life, and he was gone, like a dream, a figment of my imagination that was always out of my reach. Burner phone after burner phone was always provided to me from him, but never once did he use it to contact me. I gave up hope on the third phone waiting for his call. If I had his number, I would have called even if just to cuss him out. Alas, he never gave me the opportunity. A little over 8 years ago was the last time I saw him, smelled him, touched him, and kissed him. I found my own way now. I'm my own woman, and it's time to live my life, not stay in hiding. I have had years to learn how to survive, cash only, do not use my real name, and never leave a trail. Havens Harbor gives women job skills. I went to bartending school during my first year there. Master mixer. I started at a bar in town while spending my days helping anyone who needed it at the shelter. Bartending is the perfect job to stay off the grid. Given my experience at Bloodthirsty in Tennessee, I have a skill set that will work for me at any bar in the country. My income is tips from dive bars, where everything is off the books. A simple certificate is easy to forge, changing name after name, while keeping my bosses understanding my skill set without a follow-up to references. With the money I had saved and 8 burner phones never used at my disposal, I took off. It might not have been the best laid plan. After 4 nights in Tennessee, I had the hair on the back of my neck standing on end at Bloodthirsty, the bar not far from the shelter where I worked. It was too close to home to feel like I had someone on my tail. It was 4 nights too many. I couldn't put anyone at Havens Harbor in jeopardy. That was 4 months ago. Time flies when you stay on the move. With a simple plan to use Twitter to keep up with my cousin, I left everything behind. No matter which phone I switch to, I can still log in and tweet her random things, so she at least knows I'm alive. It was her one request. Using our middle names that no one knows we would use, we have our logins. I am Mary Astronomy for my love of stars, and she is Erica May for her secret. A secret I will take to the grave for her. My phone pings, and nervous energy builds even more. At Mary Astronomy, love isn't afraid to go home. I sit on the front step of my shack home and try to sort out what she is saying. The silver pinwheel spins in the night breeze. Everywhere I go, I always put one in front of my front doorstep as a reminder of what I have survived. My current residence is a shed-turned-rental space in the backyard of the old man who owns Creekside Tavern, the bar I work at. It's one room with a curtain that gives my bathroom some privacy. I have a small front porch with a single plastic chair. Just off the porch is the silver pinwheel. If it ever gets too frayed, I purchase another one. Just a few months before Bladen and I left, there was a charity walk for the community. One our fathers lead the parade for, among many others. This one, though, this one, if people only knew the truth behind the walls of their homes, the men in uniform would be the last that would lead this parade. The concept was to purchase a silver pinwheel and fly it in your yard or business front for awareness on the children who suffer in silence from child abuse day in and day out. I donated a $5 bill to get my own silver pinwheel. Then I wrote the words I couldn't speak on the inside by the spindle and gave it to Bladen for his 18th birthday gift. He knew the answer to the question he always asked. I just never said the words. However, I silently gave it to him in that...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?